Welcome, everyone, to episode 8 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is May 25th, 2025. I am one of your hosts, Aaron. Today, we want us to start showcasing spots around Japan that both Kirk and I have been to. Whether that was together or separately, we want to chat about places we both have been to reflect fondly on those times, share places with you that we enjoyed, food that we loved, and activities that we love to engage in. And to start this journey, we'll be taking you to the ever-magical Shimane Prefecture, the place where Yay. Kirk and I lived, or just Kirk, lived for 6 years. I definitely didn't live there for 6 years, only Kirk. But was the place where he and I had met up for the first time in real life after a decade plus of just being random voices in each other's ears.
Speaking of random voices and ears, hello, listeners, and my now real-life pal, Aaron.
Yeah.
Shimane is a special part of Japan that is very underrated. I might be biased because I lived there for many years. Not you, Aaron. I lived in Japan in Shimane for 6 years. But I don't know. I'm one of those people that believe that Japan is more than the big cities and the same dozen attractions that everyone crowds into. Maybe I'm a little bitter yes. after my trip to Kyoto recently, where I could barely walk. But yeah, this is our Japan tour series, starting with Shimane, and we'll be touching on various prefectures, cities, areas of Japan from time to time on the Bon Bon Show to highlight our experiences and share some cool places that you could visit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just chatting and just reminiscing about all these places we've been to and seeing what we both liked and seeing other places that maybe I didn't get to go to, but that you did or vice versa. So I think we can do a lot of learning and sharing with our listener in this particular series. So yeah, we can go ahead and get started. I think...
Aaron, you have been to Shimane. Might have been two yes. days, but it counts. So during your time in Shimane, let's talk about the places that you've been, or the places I guess that jumped out at you, and then I'll share mine. Then we'll share places we've been together.
Yes. Yeah, I think for a little bit of background for the listener, a few years ago, when Kirk was still on the JET program, I thought, hey, this would be a good time to meet up. So I planned a trip to eventually find my way to Shimane Prefecture. We kind of stuck to the coast along the Japan Sea and then made our way to Shimane. And before reaching Kirk at our final, not our final destination, but our main destination of meeting up with him, there was a museum that I had done some research about other things in Shimane Prefecture. And that museum was called, or is called, the Adachi Museum of Art. We can link to it in the description if you're interested, but it's like a surreal type of museum, because it's not, when you think of a museum, you think of an enclosed place, like, you know, paintings or statues or dinosaur fossils or whatever that might be. But this was more like, oh, this is not your typical museum. This is, it's a park essentially, but like the most pristine Japanese park you'll ever get to see. But because it's in such a perfect state, and it'll probably be like the closest thing to a perfect park you'll ever be to in terms of like how it looks and just how pristine it is.
No
from like
blade
there's
of grass
no...
is out of space. Everything is everything, very yeah, well every... organized.
Everything is like highly designed and manicured. And so you see a park, but you are in an enclosed building, and you look through panels of glass and other areas within this building to get different perspectives on this beautiful arrangement of, you know, Japanese Zen gardens and trees and hills and ponds and whatever else that they had there. And it was like, it was a real life park. And the way that you would see it from the perspective of the building almost made it look like it was a painting, or it was a picture or a photograph just for that moment.
Right on the shore of the Shinji Lake in Matsue, right? There's a lake right next to it.
Yeah, yes. So it's a beautiful, beautiful setting. And when you park, like we took the bus there. So if you're interested in going, you stop in Yasugi City. You can take the train to Yasugi, and then from the train station, you can jump on like a shuttle bus that will take you to the Adachi Museum of Art. And when you're approaching it, it just feels like, oh, this is just a big, huge parking lot, and there's a building. And you go in the building, you get your ticket, and then as soon as you are kind of like in the main area of the museum, it's like bam, you witnessed this beautiful, beautiful arrangement of just nature, in the most perfect kind of setting that you could ever imagine. And so that was the really cool thing that we got to see prior to meeting up with Kirk. And I think if you enjoy nature, even though you don't get to actually be in the nature part of it, you're in the man-made building looking at the nature, I think it's definitely worth your time, worth the side trip if you go to Shimane. I think everyone can learn a little bit and get some really appreciate what's being done there. But just to note, yes, don't expect to have a picnic in the park. Don't bring a blanket and a whole bunch of food and expect to sit in a nice Zen garden somewhere, because that will just you won't be able to do that at all. But I think it's very different than any other type of museum or park that you've ever been to. And so I think it was a really cool place to go. And Kirk, did you? I know you had mentioned that you had been there once before. There's anything that you wanted to add about what your experience was like?
I don't know. One of the things about Adachi Museum of Art during my time in Shimane, I felt like there was always something happening there. It wasn't like a boring, bland museum that had, as we were talking before the starting recording, the same three vases for the last 30 years, you know? There was always some kind of exhibition, either it's from school kids in the area, or international artists visiting and displaying their work, or some kind of cultural musical event indoors or outdoors. I like that it's not like paintings or sculptures, or you know what I mean? It's a lot of different types of art, classical art, modern art, music, a lot of overlap happening at that museum. And yeah, I feel like it's like a touchstone for Shimane and Matsue City as a whole. Like there's always something happening at Adachi Museum of Art, and it's a great place to visit, as you were saying, if you are in the area.
Yeah, the regular like exhibitions that you were alluding to with the art and pieces, like we spent a lot of time in those areas too. So there's not just like the garden place that you will look at, but the regular displays are just, yeah, always changing. And they were very informative, and it was very beautiful and arranged very nicely. So
Yes.
yeah, definitely recommend you going there if you have the opportunity.
Nice.
And Kirk, what are some interesting places that you'd like to kind of share with the listener today?
Oh, okay. So for me, I lived in Shimane, but more specifically, I lived on the Oki Islands. So the Oki Islands are maybe, I don't know, 2, 3 hours, depending on the type of ferry you take, off the coast of Shimane. I always joke to my other friends in Japan that if you drew a straight line from my house to Tokyo or from my house to Seoul, Korea, I was actually closer to Korea than I was to Tokyo, Japan. But
Oh, really?
the Oki
Oh, yeah.
Islands are, yeah, the Oki Islands are beautiful. Like they're pristine natural environments, very remote islands, I'll say. But you can take a ferry, you can take a bus from Matsue Station to the port, and then a ferry from the port to different ports on the four different islands. And it's just amazing. It's a what do you call it, world, what do you call those? Oh my God, I'm forgetting now. Those geoparks. See, I know things.
Oh.
The entire area is a protected geopark. It's just a different side of Japan, where
Japan.
it's just beautiful through all the different seasons. One of my favorite activities to do when I was there and when my friends visited me was to do cycling. So on the different islands, you can rent bicycles, electric bicycles, regular bicycles, depending on your fitness level, and just basically tour around the islands. I've done it on one of the smallest island called Chibu. I've done it on the island I used to live on called Amatown, and another island called Nishinoshima. Is if you're watching on YouTube, you can see kind of clips of me and my friends cycling around Nishinoshima. I think this was back in 2021 or 2022. It was during COVID
Oh,
times when we were not able to leave, so we were like, hey, let's just explore where we're living. You were saying?
yeah, I remember watching that video. I thought it was really, really cool. And I thought that's when, well, I was going to make a joke and said, oh, you rented like the regular bicycles, right? I know you did it, you
Nope.
cheater.
Do you see those hills that we also had to go through? These are small islands, but they are very
Yeah.
hilly islands. You try cycling for 6, 7 hours on a
All
regular
right,
bike.
challenge accepted.
But
I'll
yeah.
do
Okay. But yeah, Oki Islands. It has a lot of nature, a lot of very nice, friendly, amazingly warm people. Like I live in Hiroshima now, and I frequently visit other parts of Japan. And one of the main things I loved about living in Shimane and the Oki Islands was just how everyone greeted each other. Everyone was just so friendly. People, were so kind, and I really like to promote that part, that side of Japan versus, like Tokyo, where no one speaks to each other and it's just kind of work, 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 and everyone looks so sad and stuff. But anyway, so yeah, Oki Islands. Please visit if you are ever in Shimane. You might not have another chance to. Next place is probably the most popular attraction in all of Shimane, the Izumo Taisha or Izumo Grand Shrine. It is one of the most important Shinto shrines in all of Japan. Please don't quote me, but my understanding is at a certain point during the year, all the gods from every single Shinto shrine in all of Japan go to Izumo Taisha to rest before they return to their actual homes all over Japan in the different shrines. So yeah, Izumo Taisha is a huge shrine complex with like multiple shrines. I still do such a terrible job of understanding what different shrines mean and what is enshrined there and all of that, which I'm trying to improve as I collect more shrine and temple stamps. But it is a perfect place to visit for your family. You can get a bus there from Matsue Station. Or what I recommend if you're going to be traveling around mainland Shimane is to rent a car. It's not like, again, Osaka, Tokyo, these big cities where there is frequent public transportation. But it's like big, open, wide spaces, and the attractions are so split apart that it's a good idea to have a vehicle to be able to navigate to different attractions and make the most of your time in Shimane. So if you can rent a vehicle, but more often than not, there are some buses and trains between major cities like Izumo City and Matsue City.
If you don't mind me interjecting there about the car,
Sure.
probably because compared to like some other areas of Japan, if you're kind of a little bit nervous or unsure about driving in Japan, especially if you haven't driven in Japan before, renting a car in, say, Izumo, Matsue, somewhere in Shimane where it's a little bit less populated. I mean, there's still the city, so that city life is still busier when it comes to driving. At least these areas would be a better place to kind of get your footing and your legs beneath you in terms of becoming more confident in driving in Japan if it's your first time especially. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that out there. If you were thinking about renting a car with a little bit nervous, Shimane is not as heavily populated as say like if you're thinking about driving in Tokyo or Osaka or someplace like that and having to deal with the extra traffic and pedestrians and the expressways. That can be overwhelming. I know how that feels. Chat with me later if you want to talk about that. But I think Shimane is a good place to start if you wanted to drive. And it's easy to get out of the cities and get to the open roads in the countryside and kind of feel relaxed. So yeah, just wanted to throw that out there about the car.
Yep, definitely good advice. It's, what I say, I feel like driving around Shimane and other rural parts of Japan can also be quite an experience, especially if you, you know, you're not so much on the expressways and you're going off the beaten track and checking out like campsites or different viewing spots. Having a car in these areas unlocks so much freedom where you're not tied to schedules or you're not chasing, running to catch buses or trains. You go where you want to, when you want to, stay as long as you want to, you know what I mean? And that's one of the things I did a lot when I was in Shimane and came to the mainland, and also traveled to other areas. And that might be something that comes up a lot depending on where we are talking about in this Japan travel series or Japan tour series. Like, depending on where you are, it's a good idea to rent a car, and it's usually not that expensive, especially if it's a group. I know me and my JET program ALT pals, when we rented vehicles, it worked out to something like, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 yen a day between us, if it was three or four of us. And that, you know, you could easily spend that on a bus from one part of Shimane to the next. So yeah,
that's a good point.
The third place I wanted to bring up now, just off the top of my head, is Iwami Ginzan, which is a World Heritage Site, UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is actually a former silver mine, but it's an entire kind of complex. So it's like the silver mine and all the machinery that was involved in extracting the silver from the ground and making coins, and the town that was built up around the silver mine that, of course, got mostly abandoned after the silver ran out and the mine was closed. But like, I'm a sucker for like these types of historical areas in Japan, where it's almost like a snapshot in time of what things were for a while in those areas. And I think even more so than Izumo Taisha, this is a perfect place for like a family visit, especially if you have younger children. I know you do, Aaron. So if you got like a stroller, or you know what I mean, you want to be away from the crowds and tight spaces, checking out the silver mine is quite interesting. There's like a gift shop there. It's like a, I would say, depending on how fast you walk, it's like a 1 hour walk to the mine. And then the mine itself could be anywhere from another hour or two, depending on how long you want to stay and what you want to explore in the caves and the mine shafts and stuff, and then heading back. So it's like a good 4 hours of just, you know, being in nature, enjoying the views, learning about this UNESCO World Heritage Site. And yeah, amazing. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, for people that like hiking or kind of getting off the beaten track quite a bit, is there just like a few main paths that you can go on, or just the only main path, or is there other hiking trails in and out of the area that people could take if they wanted to do like more adventure type expeditions out into nature? Or is it mainly like you just go to the like parking lot, find like the main area, and then you just kind of walk the guided trails? Or is there more off the beaten path style trails too, I guess, is the question?
Good question. Very good question. There is a guided trail that you are encouraged to take. There are many signs that are screaming at people to tell you not to come off the set path, because of course this was a silver mine, and you know, there are understandably kind of some dangers and not wild animals, but it's a very wooded area with, I think, monkeys and, you know, all manner of, maybe not dangerous wildlife, but it's safer for you if you stick to the path. And
Gotcha.
there are like bicycles as well that you could rent. But it's a very wide area, and it has like restaurants and different little spots that you can stop at and enjoy the views. Some really photogenic scenes. The mine itself closes at around 5 p.m., but the area is open from dusk till dawn. So even if you wanna just, go there in a more evening time and enjoy the views or early morning to see the sunrise, it's very conducive to that type of activity.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even know that existed, so thanks for teaching me about something new
Yes.
today.
We have to go back to Shimane. I always like to go back to
Yes.
Shimane.
Put it on the
So, what are the
list.
places that we've both been together during your 48 hours allegedly in Shimane? Sorry, I'm teasing you.
What a whirl. I mean, it started, what, the first. I guess we never really talked about it, but the first place that we met was at Matsue Station. My wife and I were standing in front of a 7-Eleven, and out pops Kirk from the ticket gates. And I think I was like really in my mind, I was really, really surprised and like happy. But I feel like just I think just me in general is like doesn't show that as much as maybe I think I am, where I'm like, oh, I'm super excited inside. But my face is just like, yo, what's up? Like I've seen you like 1,000 times before, and it was nothing normal, or it was just something that was normal. So Matsue Station was just memorable for me, just because that was the first time that I got to see Kirk in real life. So that was a special place. But the station itself is just a normal, like big main city train station, not massive, not super small, just had everything you needed. So don't think you need to go to the station to do stuff, but for me it was just a really,
Hey,
really cool
leave Matsue
memory
Station
memory time.
alone. They have combinis and they have international stores and a Starbucks and all kinds of different places. You could totally kill a half day in at Matsue Station. Come on.
You could. No knock on the station. I think it was great. But I don't want to set the expectation that it's like the best place to go in Shimane. Definitely. It's a
I
train station.
understand.
But yeah, I think the first cool place that Kirk and I visited that we would like to mention is the Matsue Castle, which like, I love castles. Kirk loves castles. So he got to take me to the castle for the first time, which I'm sure I don't even know what how many times you've been to that castle. Do you even
More
know
times than I
how
can
many?
count. Yeah, I think like during my time in Matsue, the one attraction I've been at more times than I can count is Matsue Castle. Again, whether it's for festivals, whether it's taking visitors to the castle or doing different things around the castle because it's like a hub area. But yeah, Matsue Castle, if you visit nowhere else in Shimane, definitely visit Matsue Castle. But what was your thoughts of the castle, Aaron?
I really, really enjoyed it. We had Kirk introduced us to a few of his friends, so we had a little bit of a party together with us, and I think it was not a bit of a surprise or a shock, but the castle itself is definitely more old style, so you have to be careful when you're in there. So it's not if you have problems with really, I guess, tight, not I wouldn't say super tight spaces, but staircases that are more steep in nature, because the interior of the castle is more traditional and it's more of like a legit style interior. It's not like
No
one of those
elevators.
museum, yeah, no elevators. This is like not the museum style of castle that's being that you'll see being redone in a lot of the castles in Japan nowadays. When you go to this one, it's like you got to put in the work to get to the top, and you got to be really, really careful. So depending on your ability, you might want to just enjoy it from the outside or just go in, but you won't be able to climb the stairs. So just kind of note that if you're hoping for, I guess, more accessibility options, which is really nice to have for those that require them, this
True, true,
castle
true.
doesn't really work for you, but I hope you can still go and enjoy the grounds and just enjoy the setting at the very least. But yeah, for me personally, being able to engage in a castle, of that style, because you don't get to run into those as often as you do as the museum and the more refurbished type castles. I thought it was really fun and kind of just made you feel like you were in something very unique and different, and back something, you know, back in the old and old days, you get to experience that feeling.
We were samurai.
So yeah, I thought it was a great time. I would definitely love to go back with you again for sure. What's your overall opinion about Matsue Castle? What's your favorite thing to do there?
I like to go to the top of Matsue Castle. It's not for the faint of heart. It's very steep. Like, even I am scared of those steep wooden stairs that are so slippery. So just take your time, and there are different levels to the castle, so you can take a break or look at the different things that are on display, swords and armor and stuff like that. But if you make it to the top, it has like a real 360 view of the entire Matsue city, which was it in itself worth it. It's such a great place to visit during the different seasons. So yes, I've been there so many times. I've been there during spring, summer, autumn and winter, and every time the view is just breathtaking. So yeah, the castle itself is also not just the castle building, but there's like the grounds surrounding the castle. That's another thing that's quite interesting. Some castles in Japan, as you said, it's very refurbished and modern with, you know, better stairs and elevators and more accessible options, but some of them are just the castle itself and nothing else. But Matsue Castle has some beautiful grounds. They're always having like floral exhibitions, and there are other kind of buildings dotted around the castle complex. They have a building that apparently a member of the royal family stayed at, I think like 100, 200 years ago, that was specially built just because that royal family member, I think it was the emperor, I'm not sure, visited. So they built an entire building just to house them for the time they were in Shimane. So that's still standing and that's on the ground. There are different temples and shrines, and there's like a boat ride that you can take. That's what I want us to do next time we go, Aaron. There's like a boat ride that you can take in the moat of the castle itself, in between the bridges, under the bridges and stuff. That was an experience. So yeah, there's so much that was you there. Could do. Yeah, at Matsue Castle.
Those emperor buildings, or like, you know, when the prince visits those, that was a very common thing, because we started to notice that more. I think maybe even during that trip. And we had noticed these houses, and there, some of them were like very European inspired, and they were there to house like the emperor or the prince or whoever, very, important people at the time. And then, yeah, these buildings would stay vacant for a long time. No one would visit. And then they eventually turned them into like a museum or a place that you could host like a wedding or a photography session in, or something like that now. But it's crazy to think that they would spend all of this money on these things just for like a one-time event. But that's just, you know, how things were done back in the day, to be very proper and polite to those visiting guests. So just a unique snapshot into history to engage. I thought that was really cool. A couple of the other things we wanted to mention, these are just like random, like everyday things. We went to Izumo, which is a city that's close by to Matsue. It's kind of like the biggest nearby city. And we went to, with a couple of Kirk's friends, to Karaoke Banban one night. Yes. So if you're looking for a fun time at karaoke, check out Banban in Izumo. I think we had just driven around and we had found this place, and yeah, we stayed there for a number of hours and it was a blast. So, I mean, any karaoke box in Japan is going to give you a good time, but if you want our recommendation on the one that we went to, at least maybe Kirk's been to a whole bunch of karaoke boxes in Japan, but the one we went to was pretty solid and it was really close to, Izumo Station. So, good memories there. I still have the videos that we watch randomly on my phone about us dancing and singing songs. So yeah, that was, yeah.
Rasputin, lover of the Russian queen.
Yeah, and you, yeah, that was so much fun. I'll never forget those moments. And I think
What did we eat?
Yeah, after Matsue Castle, everyone was feeling hungry because it was lunchtime. So we ended up finding a restaurant. And it's funny because when we go to Japan, because we're visiting, we're always like, eat Japanese food, eat Japanese food, eat Japanese food. But when you're hanging out with friends that live in Japan, the last thing they want to eat is Japanese food. They don't want to eat Japanese food. They want to eat other types of food. So it's funny that that's the case. So we ended up going to a place called Namaste Ganesha, I believe. And so this was an Indian food restaurant, and it was the first place. So the first time I ever had a mango lassi drink. Kirk introduced it to me and my wife, and it was a warm day that day, and it just hit just right. So I don't know. I haven't had a mango lassi drink. I think I've had one since, but the one in Japan, in Shimane, it wasn't as good. Like the one in Matsue was definitely the best mango lassi drink I've ever had. So so that was a great meal, and I don't, you know, it was nice to also have something different in Japan too, and it was a good recommendation. So yeah, that was the other shared place that we had. There was a few others for sure. We went to, didn't we go to like a yakiniku? Or no, it was more of like a izakaya style, right?
Yeah. It was more of an izakaya.
Yeah, that was one of your recommended izakaya.
I feel like we had a real packed day. We did so much, and I don't know. I like Shimane. Shimane, I don't know, there's like a freedom. Like even when we talk about something random like a karaoke box, which again is everywhere in Japan. Mm-hmm. But in Shimane, there's just like, there's so much more space. You know what I mean? You're not cramped into a 4x4 box with 10 people. You know what I mean? It's like,
it was massive.
Big open space with multiple screens, and it was just so affordable. You know, it was just like these little things kind of make a difference when you are karaoke in Tokyo versus karaoke in somewhere like, you know, Shimane. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah, you'll get the experience is just, you know, it's really, really fun in Tokyo too, but like you mentioned, the space is way more constricting. And then when you go to a regular city outside of Tokyo or the big cities, it's like, oh, they have, their buildings are bigger. They can dedicate more space to the rooms and whatever else, right? So it's just, it's still fun, but it's also different at the same time. So yeah, it's good to, when you travel around Japan, is find things that you like doing and just do them in the different areas. And you'll notice subtle differences between the different regions on even just like the food that they offer, or, you know, just even how the people engage with you and their friendliness or their tone or whatever, what might have you. So this is kind of the purpose of this little series, is just try to introduce you to some places that are kind of off the beaten path a little bit, that aren't really seen as like tourist sites or, you know, the big stops that you got to go in Japan. But I think hopefully this series will help to offer you another side or perspective about Japan, and maybe encourage you to, if you have the time or opportunities in your future visit to Japan, is to, you know, engage in some of these other places. And we hope that you'll have just as much fun as we did. And because your interests are different than ours, you'll engage in different activities that you'll hopefully be able to share back with us or other friends or family in your life, and kind of just keep that, you know, really organic ball of sharing Japan and sharing real Japan, I guess, in, you know, the different lights that it can offer to everyone. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this first little episode about Shimane and their Japan little tour series. And yeah, anything you'd like to kind of close off with, Kirk?
Yeah, I think you did a good job. Like, again, Japan is such a, what is it, a varied place. There are 47 prefectures. I don't know, I've been to like, I don't know, 30 of them. But like, there's such nuances and differences between the different prefectures and the people and the food and the atmosphere and just simple things, as you said, like the amount of space you have and things to do. And yeah, I really believe that Shibane and many other rural or off the beaten path prefectures are very underrated. So yeah, I hope that we can add interest to these places in this Japan tour series. Of course, we'll cover the big cities and the attractive places, like I talked about Kyoto in our previous episode. But yeah, Japan has many places to see, things to do, and I don't think we'd run out of experiences to share. Check out the show notes if you are watching on YouTube or from the website. We'll try to add some links to the different places that we spoke about today. And yeah, this has been episode 8 of the Bon Bon Show, the first of our Japan tour series focusing on Shimane. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time. Matane.